Hello and welcome everyone to the Entrepreneur's Journey. It's a pleasure to have you all with us again today. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that's a very interesting subject. Some of you may resonate with it, some of you may not resonate with it, but it's a fascinating journey and it's a fascinating experience. We're going to be talking about stepping from separation to union. We're going to be talking about Gia Lilly's twin flame journey and story and how it all unfolds and comes about. So it's going to be a real pleasure to speak with Gia today. Before we do uncover her journey and story though, I just wanted to ask her a bit more about herself and what she does. So welcome Gia, tell me a bit more about who you are and what you do.
Hi Andy, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure because I've been connecting with your work for quite some time now, so very excited to be the guest here. So Thank you. So I just wanted to say that first of all. So the question was, who am I? There's a $1 million question, isn't it? Who am I and what do I do? So Gia Lilly, which is obviously me. I am a twin flame mentor and coach and also a healer and medium as well. So I do quite a lot of different things, but essentially, twin flame mentor and coach. So I really assist others who feel they're about to begin or are already on their twin flame journey to step from separation into union. So that's it in a nutshell. But also what I love doing is one of my passions is actually sharing information. So what I also do is that those who might be curious about twin flames and what they are, even if they're completely new to the topic, yet move in spiritual circles and they're curious to know more, then I absolutely love talking about twin flames in general anyway. So, I like to think that, people would like to connect with me potentially, like, even for information purposes, even if they're not, people who would potentially like to work with me. So anything to do with twin flames, I'm absolutely really infused by it. That's my passion. And of course, having been through the journey myself, I've got first-hand experience, so that's me really, and that's what I do.
Love it, and obviously today we're going to be delving into your first-hand experience.
Yes.
And how that's obviously come about. So, at the beginning of all of our journeys, and whether that's a twin flame journey or the journey of an entrepreneur, today we're obviously going to be looking at your twin flame journey as a whole. Mm-hmm. The start of our journey is the original world where we're at a place of pain and discomfort, and often we're not happy with ourselves and our lives and we want to seek some form of happiness. Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself in a place like that in regards to relationships or in relation to finding love in your life?
Oh yes, definitely. I mean, who doesn't, to be perfectly honest with you? I mean, if it was such a smooth ride, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about it for a start. And the thing is, especially like in terms of twin flame journey, the thing is, we get to learn and unfold and really get to know ourselves. And as part of that process, we go through phases where we connect with our shadow, where we connect with our light, and then ultimately be at peace with both of them. So of course then we're going to inevitably experience things which are going to bring out both sides of us. And for me, the dissatisfaction, the unease, the shadow side, all of those things came about through relationships, very important ones at that, especially romantic ones, unfortunately. But that is how it went for me, unfortunately, and actually I think it's one of those things, I don't know if it's a Libran thing particularly, but I seem to have come in with this crazy idea that I should experience extremes, absolutely, and being a Libran, of course, it's about striving for balance all the way through your life. So what I felt is, and if I look in hindsight now, I went through like a relationship which was abusive. And, the person didn't respect me, but to a certain degree, I wasn't respecting myself because that was somehow being mirrored back to me.
Yeah.
So having been through a really intense relationship where there was a whole manner of different types of abuses, which came about through that intense 3-year relationship. And then about, I had a year to myself where I was healing from that experience. And then I decided to attract somebody in my life who was completely the opposite, in the sense that, that he was, then I was experiencing neglect. Yeah. So do you see? So I went from abuse to neglect, a total polar opposites of the scale here. Yeah. So I had both experiences. And again, that relationship was about 4 years or so. And I learned a great deal within that as well. So, of course, when my twin flame came along, he was smack bang in the middle of that spectrum, which is fantastic. Yeah. And even though, you know, I... And it was amazing, and it is amazing, and the whole journey has been really eye-opening, and I've really found out who I am throughout the process. I found that even that being in the middle, or striving to be in the middle, in that balance, was a journey within itself, which was then the twin flame journey. So does that answer your question?
Definitely. Like, if I was to ask you about, we look back at the abusive relationship first of all.
Yeah.
And you know, striving to get out of that situation, I imagine you wanted to obviously seek that happiness. Did you find that it was difficult to find a way out at that point?
Yes, it was, because of the nature of the abuse and how it was happening, it was done very subtly, and then it got to a point where actually I realized what they were doing. So they were very clever. But also within that, I felt within that relationship, because I'm the kind of person, and I'm sure there are many of you out there who have done this, is that, you know, especially as a woman, we give our all, you know, we love wholeheartedly, we trust wholeheartedly. And of course, I will say that this isn't exclusive to women. Men do it too, of course, and I absolutely appreciate that. And, you know, and what I did was actually, you know, I loved fearlessly and openly and shared everything, which then made me vulnerable to those abuses which happened.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, then because that happened and I gave control of my finances to the other person and so on, I then basically, I was effectively disempowering myself. And because I gave them that position of power, I then made it difficult for myself to be able to get out of that situation easily. It's like I didn't have control of the money. So then if I chose to then exit the relationship, you know, where would I go? I didn't have any other resources or what have you. So do you see where I'm trying to go with this?
If I was to ask you then, obviously through that, what was your biggest learning from there in obviously to break free? I imagine a lot of it was self-love, would you say? Self-love for yourself in order to break free? And
absolutely. You know, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You know, I really feel that there came a point where, you know, I said to myself, you know, I don't deserve this. I deserve better. You know, it doesn't matter that I'm in a living relationship. And the thing is, and I will say this as well now, because as I said, I love fearlessly and I love deeply. So when I'm in a relationship, I give myself completely. And for me, being in a living relationship, I don't take that kind of thing lightly. Perhaps that's cultural. Perhaps it is, you know, because I've been conditioned, as we all are, by my parents. And, you know, in the Indian culture, there is a strong leaning towards the sanctity of marriage and union, definitely. So for me to be in a living relationship with someone, I felt as if I was as good as married to them. And for that reason, and my own sort of thought, you know, my conditioned thinking around that, I found it very difficult to leave. It was a hard decision for me to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was tough, and I didn't really want to have to go down that road, and I wanted to patch things up, but it was very clear that no matter what I did, that person wasn't going to, not that I was looking to change them, but that person wasn't interested in being in a true partnership, you know, a two-way relationship. They obviously weren't interested in that. And because, and when the penny dropped for me and I realized this, that, you know, I can't carry on like this, you know, I'm out of here. And the thing is, previous to being in that relationship situation where I attracted this person into my life, I was actually at a very low ebb in my life. You know, my self-esteem and my self-confidence were through the floor, to be honest. So I feel that, you know, because of that energy that I was embodying, I then attracted that to me. But obviously it had its purpose. It needed to be that way so then I could break out of that and say, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this to myself anymore. I'm not allowing anyone else to do this to me either. So I'm getting out of here. So that was my point. But also, if I can just say, previous to all of this, I always had this feeling as a child, and it was conveyed to me by my guides, that there was somebody very special out there for me.
Yeah.
So, and then when I was going through all of that, I suddenly remembered, you know, that actually there is somebody very special out there for me. So while I'm stuck in this situation, doing this to myself, experiencing all of this, I'm never going to be with that person. So then again, that was my other driving force to get out of that situation, because that thought came back very strongly to me. Those feelings came back to me again.
Definitely.
So that was that.
So as we step away from that old relationship and you move away, and I imagine you obviously have that self-love come out through you now.
Yes.
And more self-belief in yourself, as in what you want to experience in terms of relationship and finding the love.
Yeah.
So what was that process in terms of connecting and meeting with your twin flame, you know, as you progress through?
Right. Well, as I said previously, like, I had another relationship after that abusive situation, which was the neglect one. And again, that was, I had to take back my power there again, although I was wiser this time around. Obviously, I didn't give up. I didn't, you know, relinquish my, you know, financial freedom or anything like this. But I still wasn't receiving the love that I wanted. Yeah. You know, and that person was getting whatever he wanted from elsewhere. So that, to me, you know, spoke volumes. I thought, you know, obviously they aren't happy in the relationship for them to be philandering or what have you. But for me, you know, and I didn't want, you know, the good old words of Stevie Wonder, I didn't want a part-time lover. You know, I wanted someone who's... Yes, exactly. It just came into my head as we were talking, part-time lover.
Yeah.
So, and obviously I wanted more. I wanted, you know, a solid relationship. I wanted commitment. I wanted all those things. You know, I wanted a family and so on and so forth. So then obviously I felt like I was, being very blunt here, I felt like I was wasting my time.
Yeah.
You know, after 4 years of nothing really progressing, there was no talk of anything moving further forward. This person just wasn't helping themselves. So I just had enough. It's all right, you know, you out. Ruthless like that I am, it's shocking. I'm like that with myself, honestly. But so, yes, so, sorry.
Okay.
Where were we? Yes, so from that point, I felt that, you know, if I'm going to, it's been very calculated here, and I said, you know, if I'm going to invest my time in somebody else, they better show me they're worth it.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. So, of course, then I've now got my analytical head on now. You know, I'm watching very carefully. Are you a good match? Are you a good match? No. Okay, no. Mm. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sounds terribly calculating, but I thought, you know, I'm not going to waste my time, money, energy, effort, all those kind of things in a person who just wasn't interested. I had 7 years of that, for goodness sake. I wasn't going to do it again.
Yeah.
So I was very happy being on my own, enjoying my time. I say very happy, meaning that relieved that I didn't, you know, that I wasn't being nagged. Excuse me. But, you know, at the end of the day, as human beings, you know, we are essentially love, and we want to feel that love and connect to that love in some way. So I still held on to hope despite all the rubbish that I'd been through. I still held out in the hopes that I would still meet this person that, you know, my spirit guides told me about since I was the age of 5. You know, 30 years have passed. So come on, guys, where is he then? You know,
What was that experience like meeting him for the first time, or even the first few interactions? You know,
Oh my goodness. Well, as it is with twin flames, you meet them when you least expect it. So even though I'm saying, come on, universe, hurry up, show me, I almost missed him. What I mean by that is I almost sabotaged the meeting. And I actually did write a blog post all about this, which you know, people can view on my website. But I did write about how I nearly messed things up. But the thing is, when it's time to meet your twin flame, nothing or no one, not even you, or not even I, you know, can get in the way of that, which is the wonderful thing. So when we first connected, I didn't take him very seriously. Sorry, darling, if you're watching. I do apologize now. Yes, so I didn't take him very seriously at first. I thought, okay, well, he's just being flirtatious, you know. So I was busy. We were having what was a banter, and I really loved his energy. And then we met up for coffee at Costa. And I just couldn't believe the chemistry between us. The thing is that he made me laugh, and that was the thing that really opened up my heart and mind to him. Mm-hmm. And then it all sort of went from there, really. It was just amazing. Amazing.
So what, again, it's interesting experiences that you go through in that moment. Sometimes it can be an explosion of energies, you know, because, you know, you're coming together for the first time. And yes. So tell me a bit more about that, and how did that affect you within that experience?
Okay. So ordinarily, when we are, you know, I'm talking about non-twin flames here now, let's say, when we haven't met our twin flames, when we meet someone who we're attracted to, you know, we have our hands go sweaty, perhaps, you know, and we have butterflies in our stomach. When you meet your twin flame, everything happens on a completely different level, completely different. It's like you can't take your eyes off them. When you look into their eyes, that's it. You know, and to be honest with you, I was afraid to look into his eyes because he would look at me while he's driving, and I'm thinking, keep your eye on the road, for God's sake. I don't want to look at you because I'm thinking about our safety, you know, because the thing is, you can get lost in each other. I mean, this is no exaggeration. Time doesn't exist. The place where you are standing does not exist. Nothing. Nothing exists at that point in time when you are connected.
Yeah.
The whole world could fall apart around you, and you wouldn't even either notice or even care. I'll be perfectly honest with you. That's what happens, because you are so drawn into each other's energy. And that's what happened with us frequently. You know, the heart, because the connection happens at the heart chakra. And that's where you're first pulled in. And of course, in terms of all the other chakras, they all light up as well. It's like you are just literally like a magnet. You are literally attracted to every cell and every fiber of their being. And why wouldn't you? They're the other half of you. That is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the heart goes absolutely crazy. It pounds. It feels like it's going to jump out of your mouth, honestly. And because obviously the body, we have electromagnetic signals that, you know, that are fired in our body. So everything just kind of, you know, so imagine if you were a Christmas tree with lights, you would just light up. That's effectively what happens. You just literally, you light up everything just fires up everything. So it's amazing. Yeah.
So let me ask you about that experience. So you obviously get that intense emotion. Everything sort of lights up, like you said, and it's all fantastic.
Yes. But
in other ways, it's not all fantastic. Because it's not all plain sailing. It's not all plain sailing, is it? No. I was just looking at your saying there in terms of the title of the show today, from separation to union.
Mm.
Naturally, we find that there's a separation between the two because of fear, because of overwhelm, because of doubt, or whatever it might be.
Yes, absolutely. You got it spot on. And separation can happen emotionally. You see, the thing is, even if twin flame couples are saying, hey, we're reunited, we're a twin flame couple now, you know, they still go through their own phases of separation because they can be emotional separation phases, if that makes sense. So just because you're united, it doesn't mean that you're home and dry. But for some couples, it means that the work has really begun, you know, and for others, it might be, means like with my twin and I, it's like, we obviously made a pact to have that initial union, experience that bliss with one another for 5 months before he then went back to his homeland. And so for us, it was geographic separation for us.
If I was to ask you though, within that experience as well, within that separation, the incredible bliss that you experience in those moments, in the high moments.
Yes.
But then, you know, you could say the earth shatters, you know, and everything falls apart.
Yes.
What was that experience like for you there in terms of that separation and the divide? And initially, if I was to ask you what was the experience and I, like, upon first separating and during the first couple of, you know, weeks or months during that separation, then we'll look at afterwards.
In honesty, it felt like hell.
Yeah.
It was really, really tough. I mean, because when you first come together, there's that intensity, there's that pure love, there's that deep divine connection that you suddenly wake up to and remember and then connect with. And then suddenly, once that ignition happens, you know, you start the fire and then separation can happen. And it happened for us purely for circumstantial reasons. You know, he had to go back to his homeland. You know, he didn't really want to go back, but, you know, he felt it was the right thing to do. And of course, then that left me here in England. But so what happened was, obviously, when we parted, physically parted, neither of us wanted that. But we somehow tried to convince ourselves that that was the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Under the circumstances. So I think for me personally, I think that was probably the hardest thing.
Yeah.
The hardest thing was the situation, meaning that we didn't actually really have to be apart.
Yeah.
But we chose it that way simply because the ego kicked in, and it does during the twin flame journey.
Yeah.
And it can be the biggest obstacle along the twin flame pathway for a lot of twins, when the ego kicks in and it tries to tell us stories. And that's where problems happen, yeah.
Let me ask you then, because obviously the ego kicked in and you obviously split for those reasons. And from speaking with you and knowing about your journey to some level, you obviously had some incredible learnings from that. Obviously, I mean, I remember you saying to me that you didn't realise prior to that, that there were some unconsciousness that you weren't aware of within yourself that showed up after that separation. What were your biggest learnings there and your biggest shift?
You say? Oh my goodness, right. So the biggest shift for me, it was basically, it was a breakdown of all the lies I was telling myself, all the lies that I was somehow accepting to be truth in my life, just as we all do. It's like, so there were big paradigm shifts. You know, I was shattering beliefs and you know, thoughts about myself that I didn't realize I was holding on to. You know, the fact that I thought that somehow, you know, there's this concept of what is known as the runner and the chaser dynamic within twin flames. And the fact is, you know, the truth is that there is no such thing as a runner and a chaser. Nobody's running and nobody's chasing. These things are, it's just the ebb and the flow of the journey itself. It just happens that way. Yeah. So for me, I realized actually that I was the one who was pushing him away. All he did was mirror that back to me by the situation of him having, well, choosing to leave the country. Because obviously on a deeper level, he knew, or that he felt unconsciously, that I was pushing him away.
Yeah. So your that was your biggest shift and biggest moment.
That was huge, yeah.
And so how did that help you to then? Again, looking back at the title of the show.
Yes.
How did it help you step from separation back into that place of union?
I did the work. Simply, I did the work. I mean, I'm not talking about the work of Byron Katie. I'm talking about the work where I was connecting, really connecting in with my true essence, and also with my spirit guides. Because to be honest with you, if it wasn't for my connection with them, I would have found the journey a whole lot more difficult. I'll be perfectly honest. So, of course, as a result of that separation that went on, I went through huge energetic shifts, you know, and the healing and catharsis that happens when we are growing into and remembering who we really are. Because that's what the Twin Flame journey essentially is, isn't it? It's remembering who we really are, and everything that's false or the false beliefs that we have about ourselves fall away. And, you know, and even if we try and hold on to them, they are, honestly, they are taken away from us. One way or another, they go.
So if I was to ask you, how did that make you feel, obviously, within, you know, finding that bliss, you could say, and that happiness? How did that make you feel?
I just felt relief, to be perfectly honest, that, you know, I somehow turned this corner and I realised that, you know, I'm not actually separate from him. It doesn't matter that we're geographically apart. There is no separation. We're in union. And, you know, no matter what the circumstances may be, you know, that I am too, and I should. And why shouldn't I embrace the love that I have for him and that he has for me? Just because we're not physically together at that point in time, obviously, I'm saying. So with that, and I realized that, you know, there is no separation. It doesn't matter, you know, I can still, and to be honest with you, it was that love that we have that spurred me on to get up out of bed every morning, to come out of my cave, which I created for a space of like 2 or 3 years now, you know, and because it was a really, it was a lonely, hard, dark, think of all the possible words you can think of that can describe loneliness, despair, all these kind of things. I was there. I'd hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Rock bottom. And it was my guides who really helped me to come out of that. And I started to live again. Yeah. Because the other thing is with twin flames, when they go into separation mode, they can fall into a type of depression as such, and they forget how to live.
Yeah.
You know, and they begin to neglect themselves.
Let me ask you then, how would you describe yourself today, based on the journey that you've gone through?
Right. I would say I'm a lot, well, obviously older, but definitely wiser, definitely wiser. You know, and I've also learned to make logic my friend, but my heart has always been my biggest friend. You know, once I stopped struggling between this whole battle between the head and the heart that goes on, you know, I'm more aligned with who I am now as a result of having been through that journey. I understand myself. I love myself. You know, I have that, I can hold that love and compassion for others when I'm in a situation where I'm supporting them through the twin flame services I offer and things like this. You know, I've got to a point now where I'm not triggered by other people's twin flame journeys or what have you. That's all. History, it's done.
So let me ask a final question then.
Before yes.
On to the end of the show.
Already?
Yeah, it's almost, we're at the 30 minute mark, so we're
my goodness. Going okay.
This part of the show, but it's fantastic. So,
okay.
If I was to ask you what you do today, then back to the first question, you could say, and why do you do what you do based on the journey that you've gone through?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory, really, you know, because I've been through all the things I have. And to be honest with you, you know, I found the whole journey really difficult, mainly because it has been a very intense 5 years. Really intense, and I really wouldn't wish this on anyone, you know, the kind of things, because it has been one after the other after the other. It has been relentless, to say the least. So of course, because I had all that going on and I went into my cave as such, you know, I actually felt that I had no one to talk to, no one who understood. And even if I was looking online for help, perhaps, I felt that I couldn't find anything which really resonated with me. And I felt there were so many gaps in the whole process. You know, I wanted to understand. I wanted to know. I wanted to learn. I wanted to help myself. And I felt there wasn't really anything out there. So that was the reason why my guides and angels and all the other wonderful beings that I have the privilege of working with, you know, really helped me to get to this point now, and where they're saying, no, come on, Gia, we need you out there to deliver these services which you didn't have. So it's like I've been through everything, you know, like as the test dummy. Great, isn't it? Somebody has to be the guinea pig, and obviously it was me. So, so because of that, then obviously I felt, you know, I don't want anybody else to struggle to the extent that I did. Mm-hmm. And of course, everyone's going to have struggles through their journey. You know, we can't bypass that, unfortunately. But the point is, you know, if there is information out there, if there are tools and techniques out there which can help you, because I know they can, you know, then I want them to be available to others who feel that they are in need of that right now. So that is why I do what I do, is to be out there, to be that touch point, to be that bridge, you know, to be that point of contact for those who may be struggling right now. So that's my primary objective for you know, for being out there and doing this work. And I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So that's that, really.
And where can we find out more about yourself and your work?
Well, I am on social media. First of all, you can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Gia Lily. I'm also on Twitter. Gia Lily C is my handle. And of course, I have a brand new website, which you'll hear about first here. It's exclusive news flash here, because I haven't even told any of my tribe just yet. So you're getting to hear about this firsthand. And my new virtual home, because I've now rebranded from Angel Readings and Dreams, my new home is at www.gialily.net. So it'd be wonderful for you to come and take a look and see what's up there, what's available, blog posts, there's all sorts. So please do come and have a look.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you for being on the show. We're not quite finished there yet anyway, because we're going to ask guests to jump in, join the chat. But for those of you who obviously want to find out about Gia, the links will be on all of the shows. So whether you're watching this on YouTube, whether you're listening to this on iTunes, whether it's even on SoundCloud or even on my website, www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv, you'll have all the links to Gia's work, her website and her social media. Make sure to check out our website. And thank you for being on the show again, Gia.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
And so now's come the time for those of you in the audience to jump in, ask your questions and have a chat with Gia. So I'm going to open up the room now and ask you to jump in if you would like to. And I will unlock the seat. Yeah, it's interesting to hear your growth and your experience and your shifts and your changes within your twin flame journey.
Yes. Well, they're not even half of them, honestly. I could go on forever because the show is only half an hour long. But there is... we have a caller.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
You knew I was going to jump in.
Did you?
It's like you step away from Blab for a few weeks and it's all changed. The algorithm, I didn't know. It's like, what the heck is this? But I love this conversation. I know about twin flames. Obviously, it's not my line of work, but I'm in a twin flame right now. So it was funny to hear your story because I went through a very similar one, and you said, hold on. Did you find that your relationship, when it came to the twin flame that you met and you, mm-hmm. he came into your life, you find that you had to have gone through your other relationships in order to recognize that this was a twin flame, or do you think that you would have recognized it had you not gone through those
parallels, those extremes? Yeah, yeah, I understand what you're saying. That's a great question, Nicole. Nobody's ever asked me that one before. Honestly speaking, I would say that I probably would have found it more difficult had I not been through those experiences, definitely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been in the head space or the heart space to embrace him, I would say, more than anything else. I probably would have recognized him eventually. but you really have to be in the right space to be able to recognize them and embrace them, most definitely. Yes.
Yeah, because I have it being in one myself. I've always wondered, had I not gone through, I'll call it the hell that I went through, would I be able to recognize? And that's always, I always thought I always say I had to go and walk through that fire in order to come out and see what was being offered on the other side. I just wanted to have your take on it. And you were talking about the laughter thing, and that made me laugh because that's a huge part. And I was wondering, do you think that because of the intensity of the twin flame? I got a bunch of questions here.
No, that's great. The more questions, the better. That's fantastic. Yes, please. Far away.
I was wondering, do you think that because of the intensity of the twin flame relationship, you find that laughter is kind of the balance between the intensity and, you know, I find that's how I've been able to live that intensity, because it is an extremely intense relationship.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you've got a really amazing point there. And I would say yes, most definitely. You know, we do keep it light. You know, we're like kids, or we're like children. And you've got to have that. You really do have to have that banter.
Yeah.
It's so important, like, to keep it more light. Otherwise, it's like, it is. It's so amazingly intense.
Yes,
I absolutely agree that laughter is so important. And also, because laughter is another releasing mechanism, it's like it's a healing mechanism too. So there's that side of things also that happens, and that's why we have the laughter and why it's so important.
Because that's what I mean, like, you just brought up all these points and I went, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Okay.
I was just wondering, is like, do you think that, because obviously you have a lot more experience with the whole thing, this is only from my personal experience. I never even, actually the first time I heard the name, I've heard of soulmates or whatever, but when I heard about twin flames, I thought, what the hell is that? You know? And it's not something that you often hear about. You often hear about your soulmate.
Yes.
But the twin flame, and when I started researching it, that's when I realized that's what I was in, because this whole soulmate thing was kind of like at a, not as deep. I don't know if that's the right word, but and then the twin flame just kind of like, oh yeah, because it definitely provokes an intensity beyond the soul. The soulful connection of soulmates. Yeah.
Most definitely. You know, it's very interesting because, you know, there is a lot of, just out of curiosity, how were you able to define that, you know, that your relationship was a twin flame one? Was, you know, did you find a checklist somewhere that you felt, oh, actually, yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah, that's us. Oh, that's us. Oh, yeah, that's us too.
I would say over the time, and it just talking with people, and then, like I said, when I heard about what twin flames were, I just kind of researched it and talked with a few people about it. But in all honesty, I can honestly say that I confirmed it when I was talking with Andy, and he was telling me, and he brought up a bunch of things, and that Because I always thought it was the Twin Flames, and but I never really looked into it because it wasn't some. I didn't need to identify what I was living. I knew what I was living. But when you know what I mean? Like I knew of the word. I knew like it sounded like that's what we were in. But I never really, but I never really got involved in that whole identifying it.
Sure.
And then talking with Andy, I just kind of went, that's it. That's what I, so it was just kind of a confirmation of what I kind of knew, had heard of and had, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just curious to know. It's interesting how we all come by our own realizations, you know. Some people are able to like read it and think, you know, and connect with that, or it's through a conversation, or you know, there are so many different ways where we come to what we feel is our truth.
Yeah.
So
I love this whole conversation. Sorry, Andy, do you want me to cut it?
That's what I was just going to say. What we're going to do is just cut the recording there, but we'll keep continuing the conversation. So we'll just close it out by saying thank you all for joining us. We're live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So for those of you who want to tune in live, you can tune in live on Blab, or you can check out the replays on my website, www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv, on SoundCloud, and even on iTunes. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all again next week.
Bye-bye.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.